references to some sort of scandal in the lady's past, a scandal that had blighted any hope of a respectable alliance. That fact made Emily Farringdon extremely useful. It occurred to Simon that he had spent so many years living amid the strange cultures of the East Indies that he no longer thought quite like an Englishman. Indeed, his friends and acquaintances often accused him of being enigmatic and mysterious. Perhaps it was true. Revenge, for example, was no longer a simple, straightforward concept for him, but rather one involving exquisite care and planning. In the Eastern manner, it required the destruction of an entire family, not just one member of it. A decent English gentleman of noble birth would never have dreamed of using an innocent young woman in his quest for vengeance. But Simon found he had no problem with the notion. None at all. In any event, if the rumours were true, the lady was not all that innocent. Icy satisfaction settled deep inside Simon as he rode swiftly back toward the country house of his hosts. After 23 years of waiting, St. Clair Hall and vengeance were at last within his grasp. Emily Farringdon knew she was in love. She had never met the object of her affections, but that did not lessen her certainty in the least. She knew from his letters that Mr. S. A. Traherne was a man with whom her soul communicated on a higher plane. He was a paragon among males, an insightful man of refined sensibilities, a man of vision and intelligence, a man of strong character. He was, in short, quite perfect. It was unfortunate that the odds against her ever meeting him, let alone of developing a romantic liaison with him, were infinitely worse than the odds in a game of hazard. Emily sighed, put on her silver-framed spectacles, and pulled S.A. Traherne's letter from the stack of letters, newspapers, and journals that had arrived with the morning post. She had gotten very adept at spotting Traherne's bold, graceful handwriting and his unusual dragon's head seal during the past few months. Her extensive correspondence and wide variety of subscriptions always resulted in a great deal of mail stacked on the huge mahogany desk, but she could always spot an S.A. Traherne letter. She used the letter opener with great care so as not to damage the precious seal. Every part of an S.A. Traherne missive was very important and worthy of being stored forever in a special box Emily had bought for the purpose. She was gently breaking the red wax seal when the library door opened and her brother sauntered into the room.
"Good morning, Em. I see you're hard at work as usual. Don't know how you do it, sister dear."
"Hello, Charles." Charles Farringdon gave his sister a brief peck on the cheek and then sank gracefully into the chair across from the wide desk. He gave her the careless, engaging smile that was a hallmark of the Farringdon men as he crossed his elegantly clad legs.
"Course, I don't know what we'd all do if you did not enjoy burying yourself in here and poring over all that nasty, boring correspondence."
Emily reluctantly put S.A. Traherne's letter down on her desk and unobtrusively placed the latest copy of the Gentleman's Magazine over it. Traherne's letters were private and personal items, not to be left lying out in the open where they might draw the casual interest of some other member of the family. "You appear to be in excellent spirits," she said lightly. "I assume you have recovered from the discouragement of your recent gaming losses and plan to return to town soon?" She peered at her handsome brother through the round lenses of her spectacles, aware of a familiar mixture of irritation and affection. Emily loved Charles, just as she loved his twin, Devlin, and her easygoing, gregarious father. But there was no getting around the fact that there was a certain strain of irresponsible, devil-may-care casualness in the attitudes of the Farringdon men, which could be extremely trying at times. Even her beautiful mother, who had died 6 years ago, had frequently complained of it. Still, Emily had to admit that with the rather glaring